This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm your host, Dom Salvia. That's just PS on the board. And jazzed as hell to have our friend Earl Ingram Jr. joining me for this next hour as well. You can check his show out here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Earl doing the morning shift. Hey, thanks for staying up late with me, Earl. I appreciate it, man.
I'm honored.
We have some callers. We see you. We have some texters. We'll get to it. Let us throw out there for your consideration the fact that the House of Representatives is supposed to vote for a speaker tomorrow.
They sure are supposed to.
And my understanding is perhaps some folks are not too keen on voting for Speaker Mike Johnson. Mm. And he's only got what? He's got room for like two? And Tom Massey.
He's got room to lose one comfortably.
And Massey's out. So, I mean, he's already said this is a libertarian cat from Kentucky, I think. He's already said he's not. So what's going to happen? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. You have to tune in tomorrow to find that out. But part of this process is, you know, getting the rules together. Like, hey, how are we going to play our game? Well, they change the rules and they vote on the rules. And they have rules for now the 119th Congress. As Axios is putting out there, Earl, Democrats rage as Johnson restricts their ability to oust him. Wait, what? A little bit from Axios. House Dems are pushing back furiously against a proposed change to House rules that would allow only Republicans to force a vote on removing the Speaker of the House. Now, top Democrats are arguing the move would inhibit bipartisanship and effectively make House Speaker Mike Johnson answerable only to his members and not the entire House. Rep. Jim McGovern from Massachusetts said this makes it clear they have no intention of working together to find common ground. He added, instead of electing a Speaker of the House, they've decided to elect a Speaker of the Republican Conference held hostage by their most extreme members. And Democrats are likely to follow McGovern's lead and close ranks against the package, a senior House Democrat told Axios. Now, the 36-page rules for the 119th unveiled Wednesday raises the threshold to introduce what is called a motion to vacate in multiple ways. Now, this was what hanging over McCarthy. Whereas in the last Congress, any single member of Congress could introduce such a motion to vacate. Now, eight others have to co-sponsor the measure. So there's got to be nine. There's nine. But all nine of those lawmakers have to be members of the majority party, which will be the Republicans this Congress. The rule change, part of a deal struck by House Republicans' internal factions in November as the party renominated Johnson for Speaker. So they've also, you know, renamed some of the committees, Earl, because, you know, that's very important for us. I don't know if we need to necessarily get into that. But what's your sense here, man? So obviously, in my understanding, historically speaking, most of the time, it's been that one member could initiate the motion to vacate. It's only been here recently where they've changed it, and now they're changing it to nine of the same party. But I'm not clear, Earl, that he's gonna get by on the first vote tomorrow anyway.
Well, you know, Dominic, I'm not a very bright guy.
Oh, don't kid yourself.
But if I hear Democrats talk about bipartisanship one more time, I'm gonna throw up, man. Hey, man, if somebody bumps your head against the wall, how many times do they have to keep bumping you? The Republicans don't want to do anything bipartisan. So why are the Democrats still talking that jibber jabber? Oh, well, we've got to work bipartisan.
They're talking about bipartisanship because in this case, it's evident that the Republicans don't want bipartisanship. So they're bringing it up to, hey, if we wanted bipartisanship, we'd have it. Hell, man, Steve Bannon, you know, Trump's buddy who did a little time for not talking to Congress.
Yep.
that cat's talking about hyper-partisanship, man. And you got Donnie Jr. saying, hey, you know, our problem isn't the Democratic Party. It's the Republicans. They're not MAGA enough. They're going after their own, man. They're having this whole, you know, visa conversation. This is all them fighting each other. You think there's going to be any leadership coming out of this mess tomorrow, Earl?
Well, you know, look, Dom. We're in a bar, right? Let's say we're in a bar.
Okay.
Guy hauls off, you know, like in the cowboy days, you know, had a little bit too much. He hits you in the face.
Right. You get in a fight.
And you get up and you got a broken jaw and you say, and the guy says, oh, let's go have a beer. Hey, man, I don't think so.
But did I deserve it? Did I do something to get punched in the face? Did I have any behavior that would have caused something like that? Did I talk about his mother?
Have you had a lot of these reflections, Dom? It sounds like maybe you've had this discussion with yourself before.
Well, you know, Dom, it comes down to the fact that Donald Trump Jr. We're talking about Donald Trump Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Elon Musk. We're talking about people who we should not even be paying any attention to whatsoever. Man, can you imagine? People are listening to Donald Trump Jr. again. Hey, and he's walking around. He's Mr. Big Shot again. We got to get, I don't know, man. I don't know how they do it, but the media should not spend 1 millisecond listening to Donald Trump Jr. Why are they following him around?
Well, he's the
president. Who cares what he says?
Come on, man. Billy Carter, you know, Billy Beer, you know, everyone's got like a kid or, a brother, a brother-in-law, something. You know, I guess to that point, Earl, yeah, you know, people got to fill the airwaves. You got to get clicks. You got to get ears and eyeballs and all that kind of thing. And certainly there's a lot of that. But I would also suggest that, you know, it's one thing to be force-fed it, but it's another thing if people are actually consuming it. So I don't know how many people are clicking on the Don Jr. or you know, tapping into his socials or whatever the case may be. But this is part of the environment that we're in right now. And it is, and folks like, you know, Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. Unfortunately, that's why we got to listen to this cat. And, you know, Trump brought him into his arena, his atmosphere, man. I mean, hell, my understanding, Trump's like renting a $2,000 a night cottage Musk is renting from Trump down at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's like, hey, man, my new buddies. I mean, don't you have a job, man? Don't you got something to do to earn that money? And then, Musk is getting himself involved in other, you know, other political matters in other countries as well. So it's not just us here, man. That guy's all over the place. So unfortunately, yeah, man, the guy's influential, certainly in the Trump sphere. I don't know how we don't talk about it.
Well, no, I'm saying he's instrumental in the Trump sphere, and because Trump is going to be the president, he brought him into all of our spheres.
Right.
Who, I mean, come on, man. Elon Musk should not even matter to the American people. Because Donald Trump is salivating at a guy who's worth $400 billion, and Donald Trump doesn't bow to many people, but to a guy with $400 billion, that's his guy.
his new buddy. It's a little concerning knowing that a guy like that, with that kind of money and gravity behind him, is going to be influencing, you know, this old president that we have now. I agree with you, man. But unfortunately, what's better or worse? You know, Elon Musk or Mike Lindell, the pillow guy? You know what I mean? Like, why did Mike Lindell have to get thrown into my face? Like, who is this guy and why do we care? And why is he meeting with the president talking about, you know, the Insurrection Act or whatever? You know what I mean? But this is what you get, right? When you vote for a person, you get the whole show, man. We're getting the whole show, and it's evolving. You know, the Trump sphere constantly evolves. People moving in and out. You know what? And there's a lot of folks that we don't even know that he's talking to that's going in and out of that sphere, man. So it's part of the show.
He's not even the president yet. He's not even the president
yet. Don't tell him that.
I know. Hey, and don't tell the rest of us that. Right. Because people are treating him like he is. And really, poor Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Hey, man, stop putting him in front of the camera, John. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, if it's not going to be Joe, and you know, Kamala just lost, she's not showing up a whole lot either, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on here, man. And I would rather have, you know, no one from the Dems, you know, stepping up. And Biden did get out and speak today a little bit. Then what's coming, man? Because what's coming is...
I know, man.
Folks, we already had a little preview of what it was before. And we'll see if it gets better. Maybe he'll grow into the role. Earl, we'll have to hold our breath and see. 855-752-4842. The original Claire. What's up, Claire? Welcome. Happy 2025. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dominic, buddy.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And hi, Earl.
Hello.
I am so dreading round two with the orange Cheeto.
Mm.
But Elon Musk, I'm very concerned about, because he's going to be what? The czar of government efficiency and avoiding waste.
Yeah.
And talking about the veterans made me think of this. Is he going to say, well, we can't have these veterans helping them with housing or mental health issues?
No.
You know, that's a waste of money.
Yeah.
And that'd be horrible.
And that's I tell you, Claire, I think, you know, the VA is on the block for these guys. If they could pull it off, you know, I would think it'd be, you know, politically damning, let alone the actual damage it would do to those folks that need the services. But you think politically, well, that would kind of, you know, fly in the face of we support our vets and all that kind of, you know, balderdash we hear from these Republicans, because when the rubber actually hits the road, I'm not clear that they do, Claire. Not to the degree that I think we should. And Earl, you know, we got folks out in war zones and whatnot. We should certainly be taking care of them. No vet should ever be wondering if they're going to eat or if they're going to have a roof over their head. And, you know, let's just be honest about it. No American citizen should be thinking about those things either. You know, one of the reasons we got these, you know, Social Security and Medicare, so we don't have, you know, the old ladies living in the street eating cat food. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, you know, Elon Musk, $400 billion. You know what? We are the most powerful and wealthy, you know, democracy this world has ever known. And it's within our power as citizens and voting citizens of this country to change the direction at our whim. We literally could do it. I mean, if we just had another million people show up. I know it seems like a lot, but come on. I mean, how many people do not engage, do not participate? And a lot of folks, like those on the right, well, they don't want too many people to engage and participate. We want you to engage and participate. Join us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. on the board. Earl Ingram at the desk joining me today, 855-75. Civic, some local / national news. Earl, couldn't believe I saw this one today at the Washington Post. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Thursday endorsed our pal Ben Wickler, chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, to lead the national party, making Schumer the highest-ranking Democratic official to weigh in on the race so far. Quote from Schumer, "As one of the best state party chairs in the country, Ben possesses all the qualities Democrats across the country are looking for in our next DNC chair. He is a tenacious organizer, one of the best organizers in the country, a proven fundraiser, a sharp communicator, and able to reach out to all segments of the Democratic Party. Most importantly, Schumer added, he knows how to win. DNC members are set to pick the next chair in a February 1st election. Wickler opponents include Ken Martin, a DNC vice chair, who leads the Minnesota party. Martin O'Malley, former commissioner of the Social Security Administration, former governor of Maryland. And James Skoufis, a New York state senator. And when I saw this, and we were prepping for the show today, and then I saw Greg from Matt and Era on air. I'll be appearing on Matt and Era on air tomorrow. It's their 1 year anniversary here on Civic. But side note, and we were talking about this. I was like, "Oh, is this good? is that a good endorsement? Do you want Chuck Schumer's endorsement?" And that was the first thing I thought of too when I saw them. I don't know that it doesn't hurt. I don't think it hurts. Certainly, he's got some sway. He's a leader in the Senate right now, at least. So, I'd like to see Ben Wickler. Of course, he's my homeboy's local favorite. Love to see a Wisconsin guy make it big, Earl. What do you think? This election is going to come down in about a month. You think Ben's got a chance?
Absolutely, man. You know, if nothing else, he's a well-spoken guy.
Yeah.
And so he stands erect, and when he speaks to you, you look at him. He looks directly into your face, man, and he delivers poignant information that he's not dodging anything. He talks plain.
Yeah.
And so, man, I wish, you know, that he gets the position. And I think if you got Chuck Schumer supporting you, it's a pretty good chance
right?
that you kind of got it. And he's the guy. He's got talent. He's got big talent. And he'll make a big difference for the Democrats, man.
And he's a younger cat too. I think the guy from Minnesota was born in the 70s as well. A little bit more from this piece. As you mentioned, Schumer apparently has taken interest in DNC chair elections before. After the 16 election, when Trump won his first term in an upset, Washington Post reports, Schumer endorsed Keith Ellison from Minnesota, who chaired the DNC. Now, he lost to Perez, and Ellison now serves as Minnesota's attorney general. So, he went, and I've interviewed Keith Ellison before, didn't help that time. Tom Perez obviously got that. So it's not a guarantee, but it's got to help. You know, when you got the head of the Senate and a big wig in the DNC supporting you, certainly that's got to help. And I would love to see, you know, some younger folks. And Earl, and I know you're a little bit older than me, man, but you're young at heart. AOC lost a vote. For what the I think the House Oversight Committee,
right.
And she lost it to what what's his name, Jerry O'Connelly, I think his name is Jerry Connelly, who's he's older than you, Earl. I'm just saying, and so I'm wondering, when is this shift going to take place? You know what I mean? When do the younger folks, and I'm 53, man, I'm not even that young. I'm talking about, you know, 30s, 40s, you're younger than me, even half your age, Earl. When are those folks going to start getting a spot in leadership, having some real influence, other than, you know, these old cats that, Connelly's position is basically, well, I've been here a long time, it's my turn, you know, and I get there's a lot of seniority going on, but I mean, come on, when are we going to get some new blood, man?
So let me say this to you, Dominic. I have said repeatedly on my program, it's time. I don't care if it's Bernie Sanders. I don't care if it's Elizabeth Warren. Chuck Schumer is considered young compared to the others. But the baby boomers in my generation, we've had our time.
Yeah.
And so for us to continue to control things, man, we're from a different generation. Almost a different century. And the world has changed. And it's not our world anymore. And this goes for Republicans as well. If you look at the ages of many congressmen and senators, the world has changed. It's time, man. It's time to allow younger, brighter, I shouldn't say brighter, but younger people who, we're not talking about 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
We're talking about people with life experience and education. To the world is changing. America is no longer going to be controlling everything like it did when I was a young man. And the rest of the world is catching up and passing us. And so the American people have to come to grips with the reality that we only make up 4% of the global population. The rest of the world is not going to let us keep calling the shots. The other 96% of the world knows the reality. China is moving. India is moving. All of those nations have a better educational system than we have, Dominic. It's time for the change.
Well, perhaps some more investment in our educational system as well. But the folks, they be hanging on, man, and even across the board. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, and granted, she was a great speaker, got things done, but she was out there pushing for Jerry Conley to become the head of this committee as well. Old people supporting the old people, and AOC lost by like over 40 votes. So apparently, that's the new generation—a 73-year-old or something like that. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. That's Earl. He's young at heart. Join us 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Earl Ingram joining me for this next half hour. Appreciate you, Earl. Just PS on the board as well. You can join us, 855-75-CIVIC. Talking about the endorsement, Senator Chuck Schumer endorsing Wisconsin's own Ben Wickler to head the DNC. We'd love to see that. Talking about kind of brings us to the conversation of age, which is something Earl knows a lot about. Ben Wickler is 43 years old. He's got a birthday coming up next month.
Wow.
Yeah, right? So young cat.
I didn't know he was that young.
He certainly carries himself older than that. Uncle Tony chimes in real quick, Earl, if I may. David Hogg running for vice chair. Now, David Hogg was a survivor of one of the mass school shootings. He's 24 years old and said, I raise all this money, get young voters for you. I want a seat at the table. Yeah, man. I mean, it makes sense. So I'd love to see these younger folks coming in, getting involved, and not only getting involved. I mean, a lot of young people are involved early. You know how it is. We go out to some of these political events. Even in the press, a lot of young folks in the press, now, you know, those aren't the folks that get, you know, a lot of the FaceTime on the telly, right? But there's a lot of folks out there running around the young reporters asking those questions, and we're wondering why they're asking them. They're long nights. You're on your feet a lot. You know, there's a lot of running around. It is a young person's game to a large extent. Similarly, with the politicians, a lot of staff are younger, but a lot of those folks, Schumer, Pelosi, been there a long, long time. I'm sorry, finish your thought. You were talking about.
So the average congressperson in the 118th Congress is 58 years of age. The Congress that's coming in, 58. The average senators is 68.
So just
think about that, man. 68 is the average age of a United States senator. And if you know, some of them just can't do it anymore. And that probably has dropped because there's some senators in their 80s and 90s who just couldn't do it anymore in the last 4 or 5 years, Dominic.
Come on, man. There's a Republican congresswoman who was like found in a memory care unit. She hasn't voted in like 6 months. And I'm not knocking. I mean, I get it. I understand. But come on, where's the representation? Where's the work? And you know, I'm a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I'm a fan. But what, she was like 87 when she died at the Supreme Court. I mean, she could have stepped down earlier and had Obama replace her. Instead, we got Amy Coney Barrett. These things, and I don't know. Maybe it's just the attraction to the power. You know, you get used to a lifestyle and. Maybe you get a little tunnel vision the older you get, man. But I don't want to die behind the desk, man. You know what I mean? I want to do the best I can for a little while longer and maybe bring some folks up and help them out. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a younger person. So I'll be here if you need me on a consulting basis. You go do that. Knock yourself out. I'm down for that. Don't want to be the one to die at the desk, man. I'd love to see some of these folks getting out of Dodge a little earlier. I talked about Jerry Connolly from the New Republic a little bit from here, and then we'll get to your calls, 855-752-4842. 74-year-old Democrat who ran against AOC offers an infuriating defense, according to the New Republic. Representative Jerry Connolly beat AOC in the race for top leadership in the party, then defended the move the most outrageous way possible. Well, how was that? Well, here's a little bit of the story. Now, he did beat her to become the ranking member of the Oversight Committee, the House Oversight Committee. It was a battle of establishment Democratic politics versus new wave progressivism, and the Democratic caucus opted to vote against the future of the party by a margin of 47 votes. So that wasn't close. Now, when pressed on why a 74-year-old with a recent esophagus cancer diagnosis deserved a shot at arguably one of the most influential positions in the House, Connolly couldn't muster up a response deeper than having paid his dues. Speaking with CNN on Monday, Connolly's rationale boiled down to simple entitlement. Here's his quote. The decision about leadership ought to always be based on a proven record, skill set, competence, capability, and your plan for moving forward, Connolly told CNN. I've never had my chance to be a ranking member or chairman of a full committee. This is it. I've got the bona fides and the credentials over 16 years that my colleagues looked at, examined, validated, and decided. That's what we need. And that's what the Democratic caucus overwhelmingly decided to do. As the New Republic points out, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was reportedly entrenched in the process of getting Connolly to lead the key investigative body for the purpose of keeping AOC away from the fulcrum of power. So even within these political parties that, you know, we generally support, they got their own infighting and politics and whatever going on. And I don't know that, you know, having a 74-year-old beating out AOC by 47 votes, certainly that apparently that's what they want. But come on, man, is this guy turning out anybody under 30?
Well, that's why I call it politics. That's the reason I call it politics, man. It's you know, younger people, many of them did not vote. And maybe they didn't vote because they look and see a bunch of fossils who continue to talk about things that don't matter to people who have the whole future ahead of them.
No.
And so maybe if AOC was there, people who didn't vote would have come out and voted. This is the part of it that I don't understand, Dominic. Almost half of the American people don't vote. And yet the Democrats say, well, we've got to be more like the Republicans. We've got to change the way we've been doing things because we know we lost. And my response is, no, you don't have to be like the Republicans, man. No. Go after the people who don't vote.
Right.
Do something, say something to address those people, and it'll be a landslide. You don't have to follow the Republicans and be like, man, what is this, man?
No, yeah. There's a lot of room to change without moving in that particular direction. Yes.
Yeah, and the Republican strategy is what? To make it so obscene that no one wants to get involved, mm-hmm. and so you win by diminishing, you know, the
right.
electorate.
Just destabilize, insert right. chaos.
That's what I'm saying. There's such an opportunity, to your point, Earl, and to you, Jess, as well. There's such an opportunity for those folks that don't vote. You're going to tell me you can't come up with some messaging. Hell, messaging, you know, you can have several people can say the same words. You know, who says it? Who resonates when they say it? You know what I'm saying, Earl? I mean, if you're going to talk about something, you know, Social Security, and you're an older cat, man, you've been involved, and I'm gonna believe and trust what you have to say on those issues. If we're going to talk about, you know, what some of the younger folks are dealing with right now in the reality, you know, maybe it's more like Jess who would I want to have that conversation with, who's more dialed into, you know, that topic and that age group. I mean, those things are there. Not to say that older folks can't represent younger folks and vice versa. But come on, we can do something different. You know what I mean? And hey, I like, hey, yeah, Earth, go ahead.
Earth to Dominic, I used to be young. Okay. All of us, one solid thing about this thing called life is if you live long enough, you're going to age.
If you're lucky.
I don't care where you are.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get there if you're lucky enough to live long enough. But the point I'm making is at a given point in time, we have to understand it's not our world anymore. Yeah. The baby boomers is not our world, man. We were around during the Cold War, Dominic.
It's not only not your world, Earl, it might be your fault. I'm just saying.
I know. Hey, man, I know.
All right.
Come on, man. Come on. Time to step aside.
Yeah. Oh, now it doesn't have to be a step aside, man. You know, I mean, you know, help people out, man. You still be a part, man. You know how it is to mentor and to bring folks in and to be a rock and a source.
That's what
for
I
folks.
Do.
That's what you do, man. I mean, you do it right. on the radio. You do it in your personal life, man. I mean, it's not like you got to step. You're out of it. You know, you can still have influence. You don't need to be the point person in front of the camera. You have to let the young, good-looking folks do that, man. You know, but you know, there's a lot of legacy wisdom that can be there. But I think to the extent that those folks, for presumably personal ego reasons, want to stay there, want to stay in that power. You know, when someone steps down, what do we talk about Joe Biden when he finally, you know, came around and decided not to run? Well, we thought, man, what a selfless.
They forced him out.
What a selfless act. Well, he didn't have to. Yeah. Oh, come on, man. I don't buy that. Grown-ass man, Joe Biden, president, did not have to do that. He saw the writing on the wall.
Finally, but it took a really long time.
Well, he never should have ran in the first place.
He never should have run in the first place.
Hey, but it wasn't so much that he was running for himself. It was all of those people around him whose jobs and careers
right.
are connected to him. And they wanted him to stay there because it meant more gravy train for them.
Anymore. Absolutely. Great point. A little bit here from ABC News. I think it was Uncle Tony who brought it up. David Hogg, gun control activist, March for Our Lives co-founder and Parkland school shooting survivor, running for vice chair of the DNC. Here's a quote from him. I think this role is a great way for one, bringing newer voices into the Democratic Party. I just want to be one of the several of those voices who help represent young people and also, more than anything, make sure that we're standing up to the consulting class that increasingly the Democratic Party is representing instead of the working class. I mean, that's some wise words from the young 24-year-old David Hogg. But you're going to make some people mad if you start talking like that because, as you mentioned, Earl, the gravy train is there. What else does he say here? We need to realize that we are increasingly the party of sycophants. We are just surrounding ourselves with people who tell us what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. We're increasingly surrounding ourselves with paid political consultants that are letting what donors say to them guide their talking points. Oh, man. Yes, please. Can I have some more of that? And what really bothers me, we say to people all the time, who's to blame for this election? It's young people. It's ex-minority group. But really, who's to blame for this? It's us. It's us. Ultimately, we failed to communicate. We failed to have a broader strategy within the party to make sure that we're telling the president what he needed to hear rather than what he wanted to hear, which was that he needed to drop out. David Hogg, running for vice chair of the DNC, liken that. I mean, that is some wisdom, but you're also ruffling a lot of feathers, Earl, because when you talk about, you know, shaking up the system like that, you know who doesn't want that? The same folks who told Joe, you're fine, stay in, the ones that are getting paid.
Right, man, come on.
And those that are getting paid do not give that up lightly. Not at all. It's not our world anymore. We've been trying to tell you guys that, man, says Cam. We keep talking about cognitive tests for leadership, but I want a better one. And my test will task each congressman and senator with converting a Word document to a PDF. If they can't do that, they're publicly stoned. I don't know. Stoning seems a little harsh, Cam, but I appreciate it. You know that, but that's
death
why
by a thousand paper cuts.
That's why their staff. You know, I used to know how to cut the audio up pretty good, but now Jeff does it. You know, yeah. I could do it if I had to.
You had to.
If I really,
but
really
passed that torch.
Thank you for that. And I'm here for, you know, advice and mm-hmm. consultation. Mm-hmm. You know, with a day's notice or so. I'm happy to contribute to the younger generation. Yeah, man, Earl, this is what we need to do. We need the younger folks. We need folks like Ben Wickler. We need folks like David Hogg to come in. And it's not just the fact that they're young, right? They're young. They're articulate. They're smart.
They're smart.
Successful. They've got a track record. Even at 24, man, this dude's been around. I mean, if you're hounded by Marjorie Taylor Greene when you're like 19 years old, walk around the Capitol, I think that gives you a little bit of cred. You know what I'm saying? Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show.
So Dominic,
yeah, go ahead.
My generation had to push through the same thing the older generation.
It's a constant generational battle. Come back with us, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, also known as the Love Train. You can join us here, 855-752-4842. Last segment with our pal Earl Ingram, just PS on the board, and you on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about, you know, what's a proper time for people just to move along? That could be in politics, could be in business, could be in whatever. But I think we got to go back to, like, the dance moves, right? So if you grew up, you know, doing the hand jive, maybe you shouldn't be in office anymore, right? You know what I mean? That's like the 50s. So, what, the 60s? The twist, right? Did you do the twist, Earl? You were doing the twist when you were younger, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So, if you're doing the twist, you're, you know, about 70 or so, you know, in the 70s. I don't know what it was. It was disco. It was a lot of cocaine in the 70s. I don't know what there was a specific dance move, but it was the disco. If you were dancing, if you're out there dancing at the disco, you could still be in office, I think. I think you're still young enough for that. In the 80s, what were we doing? There was the moonwalk, man. Anybody doing the moonwalk, you are totally legit. You can be in office. 90s, the Macarena. I don't even know what else there was, right? And that's about as far as I got in the break. I'm just saying, if you did the hand jive at your high school prom or homecoming, you might want to consider retiring from politics. Just saying. We got to come up with some measurement here, folks. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, You are up. Happy New Year, man. Happy 2025. What do you got for us?
Becca, you and Earl also. Dom, you and me, we're both at the Barrymore. Not even a quarter of the way through the debate, the people around me were saying, Joe, step down. Step down immediately.
During the debate, yeah.
And that wasn't like it. That was a progressive crowd, and there was a couple thousand people there. So, but for whatever reason, they didn't listen, you know. So, and another guy that should have never had his job was Merrick Garland. He looked like he was asleep at the switch the whole time.
Man, yeah.
Earl and you are right. It's time to move on to a new generation. I'm proud to say I come from Earl's generation. We both served our country at that time, but it's time for the young people to take over, because if the Democratic Party want to know what happened, look in the mirror, for goodness sakes.
No.
You know, and I think it's right back to what you guys were saying, and people that were around Biden wanted to keep their jobs. So, hey, great show on. Thanks for having Earl on. It's always great to listen to him.
Thank
I never
you.
Get up that early. All right.
Wisco, living the good life, man.
We're talking about aging. Donald Trump is 78, and he's elected president.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I know. 78. And he was having, listen, and as we were winding that campaign down, I mean, he got weirder and weirder towards the end.
By the hour.
And I haven't seen a whole lot of him as of late. And I don't know if they're hiding him.
I mean, he's been truthing.
But that's not, you know, that doesn't count.
No.
When you get up, and we'll see, and I'm not wishing for these, because you know how it's going to be. If it's anything like the last administration, it's just going to be the Trump show all day, all the time. And I know a lot of our audience, talking to you, Tom, are not fond of wanting to do the 24/7 on this cat. And we will endeavor not to do so. Certainly bring you the highlights of what went on.
Lowlights.
And the lowlights and the contradictions and the hypocrisies and all those we will continue to highlight. But it's not going to be, and hopefully the broadcast networks won't do that as well. I mean, there was time for, Trump's coming. When he first ran, before 2016, before he won, when he was pondering the run and he started to get out there, and man, they would show an empty podium for 20 or 30 minutes. Oh, we're waiting for him to come out. And this whole thing. Don't do that. Don't do that. And as soon as he starts, you know, lying, you can cut his ass off. I mean,
I know.
we need to have some better standards. And again, I guess to the point of one of our texters earlier, Disney owning ABC and you know, Bezos owning the Washington Post and this other cat, the billionaire owning the LA Times and so on and so forth. And these big, you know, conglomerations or billionaires, corporations owning these media outlets and then kind of dictating from top. Like determining, hey, well, you know, we do a piece on that, or we endorse that person. That's going to be bad for business, man. You know, if you're only writing what people want printed, that's not reporting, man. That's propaganda. You know, it's advertising. The whole point is to talk about things that people don't want, especially investigative type reporting, factual reporting. We can do that. You can be objective in your factual reporting. And we as citizens need to know the difference between, I don't know, opinions. You know, we got lots of opinions here, but when we state the facts, we'll state the facts. Now, not every person you read from a source, be it right or left, is necessarily a straight reporter. Some of them offer opinions, and you can't take an opinion as fact, generally speaking. It could be a fact, or it could not be. It's an opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Need a little bit of that critical thinking.
But
those are dirty words.
We do need that. 855-752-4842. Sarah from Green Bay, she's texting in. So many topics, love to comment on the show. The majority of time, Trump only pretends to care or like people if he's trying to use them to get something out of them. He cannot be trusted ever. Well, great observation. And unfortunately, there's a lot of folks like that out there. Avoid those people. Number two, veterans in this country deserve far better than what this country gives them. Our country, unfortunately, starting with the Revolutionary War, has used and then dumped veterans. Look at how Hoover treated the World War I vets. Here in Green Bay, we didn't get a large enough VA facility until like 10 years ago. And Sarah also says the DNC needs members of all ages, sexes, and races so we can all be properly representative. We certainly will not see that from the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great point. To Sarah, And Troy from Mount Horeb, I like hog, but I think two straight white males is a mistake. Oh, interesting. Hadn't thought about that in that perspective as well, Troy. Thank you for that observation. Thank you, Jess, PS Work of the Board. Thank you to our friend Earl Ingram. You can check his show out tomorrow, Monday through Friday, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thank you, Earl. Be listening tomorrow. Stick around. Pete Schwabba Nightlight coming up next. Have a great night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.